Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
And we greet you one and all with the greetings of peace and the greeting of blessed Ramadan. Assalamu alaikum wa Ramadan Mubarak. And we thank you for joining us on this Contemplations of Imam W.D. Muhammad Ramadan session. And we're thankful and grateful to be sharing this information. We'll be reading from Ramadan Session Volume 1. And we want to greet our co-host, Imam Kareem Hamid. Assalamu alaikum to you, ma'am.
Wa alaikum assalam, Michael. Alhamdulillah and Ramadan Mubarak to everyone. I'm grateful to attend this Ramadan session of Imam Waqidi Muhammad Rahim Allah Alayhi. And I'm grateful that you are facilitating. Praise be to Almighty God for your for this wonderful contribution. Praise be to Allah.
Praise be to Allah. And I believe we'll have joining with us another co-host for this occasion, Mahasan Abdul Salam, inshallah. But we're going to go ahead and begin page 11. They will not be able to touch it. And praise be to Allah. We're going to begin there, page 11. We thank you for joining us. Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. What does Allah say? What is the term used for grasping the knowledge in this Quran? It says, quote, and they will not be able to touch it, unquote. Touch suggests what? Feeling, the sense of feeling. We associate touch with flesh, don't we? We touch things with our flesh. Quote, they will not be able to touch it, unquote. Why? Because they're not flesh. It means that those who do not believe in God, who have no faith, they are not flesh anymore. They have become stone or fire. So they are dead to it. Stone has become dead to touch, and fire is just given to its own rage, to its own motivation, blind to the reality and the situation. So now, let us go to another part of the Quran. I mentioned also chapter 38. Let us look at chapter 38, verse 72. Now, listen to Iblis' conversation here. This is Satan, Iblis, the one who in his opposition became Satan, Shaytan, meaning the opposed, the one in opposition. Let's begin with verse 71. It says, God says, quote, behold, the Lord said to the angel, I'm about to create man from clay. Qalikun basharam min kuhin. Now, what is bashar? Basharam. What is bashar? Bashar is translated into English as being mortal man. That means flesh and blood, man. What does that suggest? What does mortal man suggest? It suggests a consciousness or an awareness of a life form that has to be protected. When we say, quote, a mortal person, unquote, we're referring to the possibilities of danger to that person. They can be killed. That's what we mean, a mortal being. We are referring to the risk, the dangers that that person has to live with, the risk of being stabbed, shot, wounded, falling, being run over by a car, the risk of being killed. So this is Basharah. Why circumcision is so important in religion. But let's look at the word a little closer. What is Bashar? Bashar originally meant skin. It means skin, Bashar, the skin. What do we feel with? The skin, right? So again, we come to skin, Bashar, the skin. And while we're talking about it, and since the thoughts came to mind, I'll throw this in too. Why was circumcision so important in religion? Why is it necessary to get rid of foreskin? It represents the sensitivity that the world gave you, the sensitivity that the world gave you before the second breath came. God says, quote, and when I breathe into him of my spirit, then accept him as Khalifa, unquote. So the skin, the foreskin is the skin representing the consciousness of the world, the worldly consciousness, foreskin. Quote, F-O-R-E, fore. It means before coming. It means before coming before. Now, problem here for us as Muslims. In the Western philosophy or Western reasoning or religious philosophy, the sensitivity that man is born with is reason to be inferior. The nature that we come here with is reason to be inferior, and they believe that it's only after the revealed knowledge comes into that body, and that body is born again, that it is acceptable. That kind of reasoning is rejected by us. We believe that the first nature is right. Then after having the first nature, you come into the world that has strayed from the first nature, and you take on another nature, another attitude, and you have to get rid of that attitude. All of man's flesh is good, not just the heart. Just keep listening, and we're going to be able to see our point very clearly. So this idea about the foreskin is not correct unless you understand it, that in Al-Islam, it's simply a ritual that's justified on the basis of hygiene, whereas in some other religions that carry this idea that the first skin or the first sensitivity is the inferior one, there is a religious ritual that the taking off of the foreskin is removing the first sensitivity and allowing another sensitivity, a deeper sensitivity. When you take off the foreskin, what happens? There's another skin. You take off the foreskin and you reveal an underlying skin, and they call that, quote, heart, unquote, right? Yes. Doesn't it look like a heart? Well, we're mixed company here, but the imam was addressing a male audience. We're men. We don't have to be funny about this. We don't have to be shy of sex. The end of the penis looks like a heart, doesn't it? The head of the penis looks like a heart. So they see the head of the penis as the heart, and taking off the foreskin means taking off the worldly sensitivities and coming back to the nature of the heart. But in Al-Islam, we don't have the heart as an example of the skin that man lives in. We have his skin, the outer skin. Bashar does not mean skin of the heart. Bashar means outer skin, to tell those who have that other idea that, quote, no, all of man's flesh is good. God didn't only make his heart good, he made all of his flesh good. The outer skin is good too, and God wants him to live in the outer skin. Now this is, I'll stop here, and you're welcome to press one to come into the conversation. Now this is insight, and you might describe it as the Bible describes it, that milk is for children, and the meat is for the adult. In other words, the mature intellect, the mature soul, and the immature soul, according to Bible reckoning or reasoning, that's the sustenance for the babes, you know. And I remember, I've shared this with the audience before. I was a part of a ministerial group in Noonan, Georgia. And the head of that ministerial group, we all had an opportunity to go on the local radio station. And he was sharing with me, I would open up with the Imam Muhammad reciting Al-Fatiha and giving the interpretation. And then I would present my half an hour presentation. And the head of the ministerial association told me, in a word, don't have your trough so high, you know. And I understood what he meant, but I didn't like it. I didn't like that language. It was connecting with the, you know, the language, scriptural language in classical scripture, speaking of the congregation being sheep led by a shepherd. And so he was telling me the feeding place he identified as a trough, you know, the feeding trough. And he was telling me not to hold it so high. So he was referencing, you know, you're giving them meat, you know, you're giving them sustenance. You know, these congregations, they're sheep, you know. They don't have the taste for it or the ability to hold what you're sharing with them. He was trying to convince me to not share what the message of Al-Islam, the Quran, and Prophet Muhammad's example was given us and the insight given to us by Imam Warazim Muhammad. But I was irritated by it, to be honest with you. You're welcome to press one. Share your Ramadan inclination to, well, you know, during this month of Ramadan, Almighty God is a blessing to us, to the students. He gives us a better awareness, a greater awareness. So what Imam Muhammad is sharing with us is a mature understanding of scriptural language that oftentimes this language, it's known by those who quietly have been elevated to get the meat out of scripture, but they don't want to share that meat with the congregation oftentimes, you know, for various reasons. Yes, sir, please.
Yes, sir, praise be to Allah. What I'm getting from this is, you know, in Christianity, they put the idea that flesh is sinful.
That's right.
That flesh is sinful. Now, we, as the Imam says here, now, we understand the problem here for us as Muslims. In the Western philosophy or Western reasoning or religious philosophy, the sensitivity that man is born with is reason to be inferior. So they are saying that the first skin, the first nature, the first flesh is inferior. That is lending support for their erroneous idea that the flesh is sinful and you have to divorce yourself from flesh and just cater to your heart. Your heart. So this circumcision is a ritual that is expressing the idea that the flesh is sinful. And
yeah,
we know that everything Allah has made is good. The first nature is beautiful and most excellent. The first nature is beautiful. It's perfect. It is not inferior. So this circumcision is a ritual expressing their idea that the flesh is sinful. And in order to be
yes.
saved, you have to be born again. And they point to our emotions. They point to the heart. I'll stop right there, my brother.
Thank you. And you brought to my mind, something shared with us by Imam in terms of his knowledge of language. Language environment. Imam is aware of the society of Egypt, and this society is patterned in ways of how it's structured. It's patterned like modern day Egypt. You've heard that kind of language before: modern Babylon, modern day Egypt. In their language. The language of those leaders, the Pharaoh and those close to him, they understood that the obelisk, you know, you're familiar with the Washington Monument.
Washington Monument.
Yes, yeah. There are other places in the world that have these obelisks. And I think in France they have them as well. But that structure is actually a representation of the male organ. It's what we like to call it phallic, you know, and that organ speaks to the male projecting into the creation and coming out of it with insight and knowledge. So continuing. Now the heart, what is it? Let's compare the two skins. The heart is a skin within a body of flesh. It is protected by a body. The last skin is this fascia. Now this last skin, what is its function? The last skin, the last layer of skin, they restrict the blood to the life form, not allowing it to leave the life form. That's what the outer skin does. It restricts the blood, keeping it from coming out of the form, the life form. Whereas the heart, its function is to pump the blood in the arteries throughout the body. But there's another skin that keeps that blood that the heart is pumping from going all out and losing the life form. Do you see the higher symbolism? This is wonderful. Do you see the Islamic symbolism of the heart as being a higher symbolism or a more intelligent symbolism, or the idea of flesh higher in its meaning than the idea of the heart? No, the outer skin is very important. If it were not for this flesh outer skin, where would that heart, where would that blood go? That heart is pumping is social sensitive. I hope you can apply this to the world's mind and to the kinds of things that they teach us in these colleges and universities. And if you can apply it in its broad, universal context, then you will really have the idea. Since we don't have a lot of time, we'll just continue to talk on. Let us see. Prophet Muhammad, he's called Basha. That's his name. That's one of his names, Basha. And it means the mortal person. But don't forget now that it's talking about this outer skin. Allah says in the Quran that there are seven heavens, strong heavens, and in you a like number. And there's another verse that says, quote, and he creates you from clay, then from semen, sperm, which is watery, unquote. It says, quote, a thick water, and then a lump of flesh, fetus lump, mudra, then azam, five.
Adama.
Then he clothed the bone with flesh. Summa khalqan akhar. Unquote. So that is six, right? And the Bible says to man on the sixth day. If we can compare that with what the Quran then, with what the Quran, then the sixth one is what? It is lama. What is lama? Lama is flesh. Then it says, thumma khalqan akh. What is the khalqan akh? It is social sensitivity, environmental sensitivity. Man lives in a social context. Man lives in an environmental context. He has to have sensitivity. And that's the basha. That's the outer skin. That's the skin. Thumma kalkan ak. Then another creation. So what do the church people say? If we can see better by going over there, shouldn't we go over there and look? If I'm focusing upon something, sometimes I have to go over there and look. Sometimes you get a better view if you go over there. I walk over there and look, quote, okay, so let's go to the church, unquote. Now, you can press one if you like. I find this is very attractive, kind of a magnetic attraction in terms of human makeup and how the Quran states clearly that this message of guidance is an expansion of previous scriptures as well as the correction of previous scriptures. So it gives a clear, unambiguous language to help us grow in better understanding for better utility of the language of Scripture to help us grow our lives in excellence. So praise be to Allah. This is a wonderful diet for the Ramadan environmental focus. Praise be to Allah. We're in a Ramadan environment, and this is a language that helps us in our growth and development towards better human beings. It gives us the not only foundation, but it gives us the nourishment to help us become better human beings. And that is really the focus of the Ramadan and the focus of Scripture, is to give us better insight into ourselves. I remember Imam Muhammad sharing that if we're not going into the Quran to see ourselves, then we're not reading the Quran. The subject matter of the Quran is the human being and how Allah presents, you know, to us language of guidance. And it helps us to see our structure. And we have a caller. I believe this is our co-host. Welcome. State your name and where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum. Brother Michael, this is Sister Mahasan Abdul Salam joining you for this wonderful reading this evening. And really submerging ourselves, as you were saying, in the intense spiritual development that is appropriate for the month of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum to you and to our listeners.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, Brother Kareem. So good to hear your voice.
Ramadan Mubarak to you.
Ramadan Mubarak. Allahu Akbar. So I'm all ears, as they say, and I was appreciating your comments, Brother Michael, in terms of the growth and the significance.
This language excites my soul.
I do understand. I get the feeling. I'm sure that that's a common sensation or sensitivity at now, but all of those who are indulging themselves, applying themselves with the spirit of the fast. This is our time for reset, renewal, rejuvenating, right? And we're all about taking advantage of that to the best of our ability. So cue me in on where you are in the reading, and I will continue to listen unless you have another question.
Page 13, and along with the language that you used, Mahasan, we're in a born again environment. We're in an environment of rebirth.
Absolutely, truly born again. Return back to our original citra. I mean, how many opportunities do we get the mercy and the forgiveness and the blessings of Allah to do a reset every year?
Yes.
Every year.
Mm-hmm. And to share with our Christian brothers and sisters that we too are born again. We have a period of born rebirth in our way of life. Praise
yeah.
be to Allah.
Yeah.
So we're on page 13,
okay.
top of the page. You can't mm-hmm. be born again if you come alive in your senses.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we begin with, the church says, quote, did you feel it? Unquote. The preacher will be preaching and he says, quote, have you got the feeling? Unquote. And if you get the feeling enough and get the Holy Ghost, what do they say? Quote, born again. Unquote. So
excuse me, we have some background noise. Hear that screeching?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. If you could mute your phone, and maybe that will help. Just mute your phone until you want to speak. So we're getting this feedback. All right, continuing. And so the preacher says, born again. So the Quran is saying this too, that you can't be born again unless you become alive in your senses, in your feelings, in sensitivity. Don't think knowledge, the intellectual urge, can bring you into knowledge itself. No, it takes that plus sensitivity. Many Christians understand that Jesus represents the inner aim and the urge in that inner aim to reach full expression. And Jesus said what? Of Jesus, it is said in the scripture, quote, I come not of water only, but of water and blood, unquote. Now, we know this is Christian terminology, Bible terminology, but let us see if we can find the understanding. Water and blood. Now let us look at water and blood. Water, we know, is, as we said, sensitivity. We always said that in our talk, sensitivity. Are you getting tired? It's okay to stand up and sit back down. It's okay with me. You should just feel comfortable to do what you want to do to help. As long as you don't act the monkey or the ape and the monkey make me laugh. You don't know what to expect from the monkey either, man. The monkey will give you a surprise. Continuing. I come not of spiritual conscience only, but also of material conscience. So if we look at, i.e. water being sensitivity, what form of man's life is sensitivity? The emotional form. That's his sensitivity. But water is a lower level sensitivity that is like emotionality. If you can understand emotionality, there's emotionality and then there's emotion. Emotionality names that peculiar nature. Emotions say that the particular nature is active. Emotionality and emotion. So we understand the sensitivity as emotionality. Now, as water. That's water emotionality. We can use other terms, lots of other terms, but we are going to use these very simple, common terms to understand very easily, bring the understanding very plainly to us, I think. So now, if water is emotionality, then what is blood? It is emotionality in the conscience. All the water out of blood, what do we have left? You have powder. If you dry blood out, you've got powder. You've got dust. And that dust is what? Material. So now let's look at the terminology again. Water represents what? Spirituality. And blood represents what? Material conscience. So here are the two, spiritual conscience and material conscience. So if I'm correct, then let's read what the Bible says again of Jesus. Quote, I come not of water only, but also of blood. I come not of spiritual conscience only, but also of material conscience. Fear is basis of spiritual faith, spirituality. Now, the clay we mentioned earlier, what color is it? Clay is usually red. We know clay comes in other colors, but the popular color for clay is red. For blood is red, too, isn't it? So what does it tell us about the material powder? It tells us that it is connected with our passion, that it influences the passion. And spiritual conscience, water, what does it tell us? It is clear. It tells us that it's connected with our fear. The fear in man, with your fear. Why do we have emotionality? It is because of fear. Why do we have spirituality? Why are we spiritual? It is because of fear. Many people can't understand that fear is the basis of spiritual faith, the basis of spirituality. Fear is the essence of spirituality. Fear is the essence of man's spiritual body. Fear. But when passions get involved, then the same emotional nature or same emotional body that was under fear also responds to passion. It is a life that is like the flesh, the basher. It fears because it is mortal and can be destroyed. It can be killed. It can be hurt. But the same thing that fears, it loves its form. It loves life. So it can be made passionate. I'm trying to get you to see how symbolism runs and how to understand it. This is wonderful. We'll stop here if you'd like to make a comment. Press one and we'll open up your mic. This is...
You know, throughout the Quran, Allah mentions the torment of the hellfire. Okay. Allah mentions to us the torment of the hellfire. He mentions to us drinking a fluid like hot boiling oil. He mentions to us that the fire will remove your skin and then another skin will grow. And the fire will destroy that skin. A repetitious torment. A repetitious torment. Now, Allah said, any who believe in him and the last day, the accountability is where the question lies. The avoiding the hellfire. We should fear the fire. Allah says to us in the Quran, Wa nur el-haq, el-haqqa, And the fire is real. It's real. So we have faith, but that faith is also based upon that which we have faith that Allah will judge us. We will be held accountable of how we utilize our faith, how we utilize and practice our faith. We fear going to the Jahannam, going to the hellfire. So praise be to Allah, and faith means that we really don't know. Faith is belief in something that you cannot show material proof of. Any proof of it. You just have a faith. So faith is rooted in I have faith in Almighty God, but the judgment, the final judgment, the final justice up to that which I have faith in, and I fear not being found qualified to escape the hellfire. That's, to me, that is what the fear is pointing at. The circumstances that takes us out of the paradise. So we have faith, but that which we have faith in will have the final say. I won't be able to judge myself. My flesh will speak. Praise be to Allah. This is in connection. My flesh will speak against me. Praise be to Allah. My hand will speak against me. The members of my body will testify against me. So that's another connection to the importance of the first nature. The first flesh, the first nature, that it will be a witness against me. And Allah says, none of you will make paradise absent of my mercy.
Yes.
And mercy belongs to Allah. He extends it to whomsoever he will. If he chooses to, you'll receive it. If he chooses not to, you won't receive it. Allah says if he was to judge the human being by what the human being does, that there would not be a human being left on the earth absent of Allah's mercy. So that is where the faith and the question in the gray area and the fear comes from. That's just my thinking on that. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you. Thank you. And we're going to take a public service announcement. We're a little slow with this, but stay tuned. We'll be back after these messages.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Khalida Akbar, Program Manager for American Muslim 360. Thank you for supporting the CWSC Annual End of Year Telethon to help us financially secure our intelligentsia operations. We are believer supported. Take a moment now and help us reach our $10,000 goal by making your tax-deductible contribution at CWSC.us. Click on the blue donate button located at the top right of our homepage to make a convenient, safe, and secure contribution online in whatever amount is comfortable for you. It's not the size of the contribution, but it is each of us doing our part to the best of our ability. You can make a one-time or recurring contribution, which enables us to better forecast our operating revenue, and know we have your support each month to maintain and expand our operations. If you have any difficulty at all making your gift, please call us at 910-317-0297. a representative will be happy to assist. You can also go to paypal.com to make a payment by credit card to CWSC. Our most popular reoccurring gift level is just $9.99 a month or 33 cents a day. It's a small individual amount based on all of us doing our part to ensure our intelligentsia is strong and ready to remake the world. A recurring contribution means the monthly amount is automatically deducted from your designated account to CWSC. You can cancel it anytime. Of course, while your contributions are tax deductible, it is the multiplied blessings of charity, especially during this month, that give the greatest rewards for our generosity. You can also call in your gift by phone at 910-317-0297. Include your name, telephone, and email, and a representative will assist you with making your contribution. You can also mail it in. If you make your check out to CWSC, you can mail it to CWSC Marina, M-A-R-I-N-A, Village, V-I-L-L-A-G-E, 4905 34th Street, South, number sign, 185, St. Petersburg, Florida, 33711-4511. Together, we can remake this world into a better place for all people.
Praise be to Allah. We're back with more of the Ramadan session. The Imam W.D. Muhammad. We're reading Volume 1, page 14. Fear is your first teacher. And as Imam Kareem was sharing with us, fear and how it operates, there is a, what I would call a maturity of that element of fearing to do anything in terms of our choices and our behavior, fearing to do anything that will upset our relationship, our good relationship with our Creator, and having the discipline in terms of the choices that we make and how we behave, that is my opinion of a mature type of fear. And we're continuing. Fear is your first teacher. So we have many stories in the Bible of rivers being turned to blood, water being poured on the land, and the water turning to blood upon the land, telling us that man comes into this world, and this world frightens us. It overwhelms us. It is so huge, so mysterious, until it's formed in that emotionality. Fear. That's the first thing that forms. Fear. In the Quran, we have something to support this. But in the Bible, for you all who understand Bible, you can go right away to where the Bible says fear was your first teacher. This is the Bible. Fear was your first teacher. So fear, it's true, is your first teacher. The child fears danger. So the child depends on the parent, somebody else that's bigger, better able to deal with things. So obedience in the child for the parent formed in the nature of that child, and the fear of that exists, fear of that exists in that child. And because of that child fearing, that child will obey. It trusts stronger beings, stronger people to protect it in this environment that it's in. So fear is the first teacher. This is wonderful. You know, this is the psychology, how Allah has given us a psychology that we trust. The bigger folks, our parents, we trust mama because we laid at her breast. We may have even fed from her breast. And so the bond is created. And we watch how she operates. And we, what is it? hiding behind your mother's skirt tail. Well, you know, we find the energy of protection, you know, exuding from her, that she cares about this innocent life, and that she will get in front of anything that's going to suggest a threatening to that life. So we'll open up here. Yes, ma'am.
As-salamu alaykum. It's so interesting to me, as you talk about fear as the first teacher, it appears to me that this is one of the first protective psychologies.
Absolutely.
That is a part of the precious gift of intellect in the child. And we don't think of an infant as being particularly advanced in his intellect or her intellect. We understand that when we talk about nurturing a child, that is a process of development, that the mother is given excellent skills and capacities to do. She is fitted for nurturing the child in its most simple state, its unadvanced state. And fear is the opposite of protection in that way. And it also indicates what's happening in the sensitivity, as you talked about the water and emotionality. The child in his infant state or early childhood state experiences emotionality, experiences the flowing of feeling, doesn't quite know how to deal with it, doesn't have particular skills at managing
yes.
it.
Yes.
That's what the nurturing is about. So that nurturing brings out the development, enhances the development with the best use or experiencing of our nature, instead of being commandeered by remote control. We can see our mothers as being outside of us, in that way remote control. They have the capacity to teach us self-control, two different arenas of that wonderful capacity we focus on in Ramadan, which is restraint, self-restraint. That trust really means a lot.
Yes, now, you know, in religious terminology, the parents, the reparents, are symbolically referred to in relationship to the young child. The parent is referred to as a God with a little g, a little g now. I'm not talking about the God.
Mm-hmm.
But the parent represents or symbolically represents God with a little g. A little g now. The child looks to the parent for his safety, relieving its fears, protecting the child from danger, and the child eventually begins to have faith, praise be to Allah, has faith in the protection of the parent, because the parent have guarded the child in periods of fear, protection, security. So these are understood on many levels, but it's all aiming at the faith coupled with fear. So parents, we have to get on our job.
You mentioned something that can be very instructive and energize us in that, you use the small g God as the first authority, of course, that the child recognizes and accepts, and if nurtured in a way that they develop obedience. What Imam Muhammad was talking about, they learn obedience or give obedience in exchange for being protected. They associate that. So
yeah. It
dawned on me that God is so similar to the word guard. And the mother is known as the Raya, given a distinct and specific capacity to guard and protect the young child.
To Allah.
Inshallah.
It's a connection with Rab, and there's an intuitive bond where the child, even though the intellect hasn't developed much, there's an intuitive awareness of the care and the protection and the guarding, evolving of that protective environment.
Mm-hmm.
So if I may, we've got fear hungers for understanding. Audiences, dear callers, if you could join in and share a comment of what we've read thus far, we welcome you to press 1 to come into the conversation. Seeing no one responding, we're going to continue. Fear hungers for understanding. Now look at water again. Water has a lower temperature than land. Normally, water, the temperature of water is lower than land, and water resists heat. When water gets heated up, it begins going away. You don't even have to make it go off. Enough heat will soon dry it up. It evaporates. Water doesn't like heat. Water resists heat. So that is symbolic of the spiritual life of the man that has in its essence fear, and it resists being fired up or wound up. We don't like to become too excited. We would rather rest. We would rather be quiet, at rest. Fear in us that is checked. And then the blood representing passion is symbolic also of what? Protection. What else does it hunger for? Understanding. Fear hungers for understanding, and the things we fear, because we fear them, it makes our brain want understanding, so we can eliminate the fear. So, quote, let me be able to live with those things, unquote, right? Now here is fear, water, operating in the intellect to bring the intellect to growth and development. But now hunger comes into the intellect, and this hunger is not a hunger for understanding. It's not water. The hunger for understanding. Let me read that again. But now hunger comes into the intellect, and this hunger is not a hunger for understanding. It's not water. The hunger for understanding. Material concerns bring the social life together. Maybe we shouldn't go that far away. Let's come back to blood. Blood represents hunger. But hunger for what? What is the blood hungry for? The blood hungers for nutrients. Don't we have to put nutrients in the blood? The blood has to be fed with iron, other minerals, nutrients, and these organic parts of our body or makeup have really strange nature or strange behavior. It has been proven that you can put live blood on some things and the blood will actually eat that thing. Blood, the blood itself will begin to feed on that thing. So blood has an appetite. Blood in our bodies carries the nutrients. It has to live on the nutrients. So it says, quote, put the water on the dry land, and it becomes blood, unquote. Take the water and pour it on the dry land, and it becomes blood on the dry land. All this is talking about is, quote, give the people spiritual mind to the material appetite, and then, according to the scripture, spiritual mind, when it comes to contact with material, it gets an appetite for material. And what has an appetite for material? Blood. So now my water, the spiritual, becomes blood. So instead of spiritual conscience, now what is it? It is social conscience. And social is symbolic of what? Passions, heat, warmth. He's warm. So the social life refers to the warmth, the heart, the appetite for contact with each other, closeness to each other. That's the sociable nature. That's the social life. And why is materialism involved here? It's because it is material concerns that bring the social life together. Why does man form social groups? It is because of the common material needs. If we didn't have those needs, we could group in the water. The fish go in groups. Yes.
Excuse me for interrupting. I'm excited about interjecting here that command in the Quran where Allah says, He's made us tribes and families so that we could exercise this same nature, this natural proclivity you're talking about. It will happen if we come together, will happen almost automatically.
Yes.
We won't have a tendency to despise or hate or resent each other, that in our creation, the relationship between the blood and what it represents and how it acts and behaves will naturally draw this together to the human being. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
That's your phone?
Yes, it's off now. I'm sorry.
I agree.
Go ahead.
In our history, in the history of the human family, the same kind of fear that the child experiences and intuitively knows come together or to find the parent, you know, for protection. Man has come to understand that in his social grouping is a protection from those things that he fears.
Mm-hmm. You remind me of a comment that Imam Muhammad shared when he watched the Penguin movie. Remember? He said, number one, for him, it represented his nature, the penguins, right? One of the distinctive behaviors of the penguin is that they are nurtured from the time their egg hatched. You know, the father carries the egg, then it hatches, and then it's nurtured and fed. And then the parents to see for some time acquiring food and substance for themselves. They may be gone a month or so, and the small penguin has to guard himself. So he grows in the time that the parents are out foraging for food in the ocean. When he comes back, he looks different than when they left him. He's much bigger, right, et cetera. So how do they rejoin themselves? And it's like what I think you're talking about now is that young penguin calls out to his mom, and no matter where he is, the mother and father can find him because they have this instinctive recognition of the voice of their child. Out of all those hundreds of penguins, after being at a distance, they're able to recognize and rejoin.
Yes, Allah has given us a wonderful sign, ayat, in the creation. And we've got a caller. We've got a caller that wants to join in the conversation. I think I recognize this number. Welcome, caller. State your name. Where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum. Allah, like, there's something that I like to share, inshallah. Prophet Muhammad was born in the purity of his original nature. It was Jesus. Or Jesus was born in the purity of his original nature. So was Muhammad. And that is what supported Muhammad for 40 years until a revelation came to him. But God chose Muhammad because he was in his original nature and established as God wanted to be established in his original nature. I want to read that from that book, Follow the Leader. So this is something I wrote I'd like to share. God consciousness, alhamdulillah, God consciousness is better than blackness. Bad behavior denying Allah's favor. Ramadan is inheritance, discipline, hurl and struggling, improve our intelligence. We are carrying the weight of the desire to bring liberation to the whole of the people on this earth. Therefore, God had to be first. Our hearts are open. We are expanding so we can accommodate all people. It's Ramadan. You are becoming more responsible. Human innocence is needed. It's the Christ principle. It is increased, not just for any particular people. One juice a day, carry mankind what we know. Our destiny is global. Like mankind low, Allah is all forgiving and merciful. The real Lord is the Lord of all people. We had accepted Allah as one God based on rational observation. We want to change and improve our credentials. You're a rational thinker. Obeying Allah is indeed the logical conclusion. As-salamu alaykum.
And thank you. We're going to take we're going to take a short break here. We'll be back after the message.
Assalamu alaikum. That is the peace that only Almighty God can give be upon you, and that peace obligates us to keep the peace and promote the peace. I'm your host, Michael Hameen, of Not Just Talk on am360.org. Join us Thursday evening, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, and 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We look forward to you being with us, joining our guests from inside the Islamic community as well as outside, those men and women who are community builders. And also, periodically on Thursday evenings, we have open mic where you become our guest. So join us for more of Not Just Talk, conversations related to community building. Again, Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is the Preeta Hadi, Director of the CWSC Model Community National Resource Directory, and host of Alice Lam in Focus Learning Lab here on AM 360 Islamic radio station, asking you to join me Saturday evening, 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, to share stimulating Islamic information and insight as we unite our spiritual and intellectual perceptions and cultivate our human existence together. Inshallah, I will hear you at the lab. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you kindly.
And we're back with more of Ramadan Session of Imam W.D. Muhammad. We're reading from Volume 1 of the Ramadan Session. We're on page 14, and we thank you for your participation, and we ask you to stay with us. We're continuing with page 14, and it reads, so the social life refers to the warmth, the heart, the appetite for contact with each other, closeness to each other. That's the sociable nature. That's the social life. And why is materialism involved here? It is because material concerns that bring the social life together. Why does man form social groups? It is because of the common material needs. If we didn't have those needs, we could group in the water. The fish go in groups. We can group in the water. We don't have to group in the blood. We can group in the water too. The spiritual superstitions, mysticism, all that attracts people too, to come together for that kind of discussion, that kind of worship. It brings them together too. But a stronger force for bringing people together is material concern. When the material concerns come, then they bring the blood to that concern. So what is that telling us? Yes.
We know, according to it is reported that Jesus called the disciples from the water.
Yes.
He called them to the land, to materialism, to material. That excellent spiritual nature has its twin in the material creation. You know, and I'm going to use what is used now. A lot of religious expression is spiritual activity, spiritual excitement, spirituality. But it's not addressing the equal material concerns. Is a lot of emotionality, a lot of high spiritual conversation. Jesus brought balance to that. He called them from the water to the land. Now let me introduce you to material spirituality that is equally important as the water that I'm calling you from. So I'll just stop right there. We have examples all around us. We have churches on almost every corner.
Right.
Our material acquisition is so low. I'll stop right there. But it's plain, right in front of us.
I want to support what you were saying in this way. I think the opposite has been data proven to be true. There's tremendous material accumulation in the church. It's just the question of who does it benefit? Monday, the day after Sunday, is probably the the busiest banking day, because it follows that all of the collections, the charity, the donations that are given in the church on Sunday are deposited in the banks on Monday. Huge amounts of revenue have been collected, and they go into the bank where they are utilized to promote business and material development for those select recipients. And what we found out as we survey our condition, and as a people, the African American particularly, comes to find out that there is a tremendous amount of revenue that he generates in work, has, and disseminates in charitable ways that doesn't serve his needs, his material needs directly. They go into a bank, and his name is not prominent or prominently treated as a recipient. So we fill our bank accounts, checking accounts, savings accounts, CDs, etc., and the benefit and use of that doesn't come to our aid. It goes in other material benefits to other people who did not generate that money. And I think you know what I'm talking about. It's interesting that Prophet Isa, alayhi salam, invited his disciples to come. Let him make them not fishers of fish in the water, the lakes, and the seas, but fishers of men, a more valuable and important resource or creation, a more justifiable recipient, and favor that they could perform in their service to God was to fish the man.
And you know, I believe the call is not just utilizing charitable contributions, which we know charity is very is highly expressed in the spiritual life. But I believe it is designed so that we become more productive, so that we are manufacturing and producing rather than the recipients of charity, that we should come into the productive life, the manufacturing life, the industrial life. So, calling the importance, praise be to Allah, to be productive, to be a producer on the earth, not just recipients. Now, the Christian scripture says the poor will always be with us.
Yeah.
Well, we should be working hard, so that we are not a member of the poor.
Right.
That we have to be productive. We have to be manufacturing and representative, and not just in the waters, drowning in spirituality.
Right. Excellent point. And we have extremely notable and vibrant history of doing that, right? It's interesting that when we used to have our own banks before they were destroyed, then we were the holders of that revenue, right? When that situation was undermined and changed, it caused us to think that we had to rely on or pull to rely on depositing it with others who may not have our primary needs and interests at heart, right? So instead of us being able to go to the bank and apply for a loan, et cetera, and be treated equally and fairly with qualifying to receive that loan for the degree of productivity we may have had in mind, like we talk about strategic planning, okay, we were discriminated against and the last to be able to benefit from our own resources. It's interesting to think about that. Mm. We're still challenged,
you know,
today.
There was buttons that were pushed once social life opened up to us, coming out of Jim Crow section. And there were buttons that were pushed in terms of spiritual messages, spiritual mythology that we responded to, you know, with this idea that the white man's ice is colder, you know. And so we, rather than remembering, you know a lot of us about ourselves, and that Satan is aware of our makeup and how we're forgetful and we're hasty. So when the social life opened up to us, we were hasty taking advantage of our new situation, so to speak, in the society, or as we saw it. But we turned our back on this, is, you know, the spirit of sustaining ourselves during Jim Crow. We turned our back on that spirit of productivity and doing for self and supporting self. And we went for these mythological or superstitious ideas of integrating, as Dr. King said, that he had made a mistake near the end of his life. He told Harry Belafonte, "I believe I've invited our people into a burning house," meaning, you know, this idea of integration has the effects that I wasn't really expecting, and he was saddened by the fact that we were responding in a way that was not being respectful of what God had put in us. You know, we were turning our back on supporting self and supporting our intelligent businessmen and women. And we, I don't know, how we went for the okey-doke, so to speak, you know. And how are you going to integrate with the people who see you as deficient because you're leaving a system that was supporting you, was supporting yourself, and making yourself more dependent and relying on those outside of your group? Go ahead, Martin.
I have this picture frame of Maya Angelou and a quotation. She was an extremely intelligent woman. And through the depth of her trauma and experience in growing up, She was a fountain of wisdom by the end of her life, right? And it says, quote,
yeah.
Never make someone a priority when all you are to them is an option. And I think
wisdom.
This is what you're referring to in terms
exactly.
of the comment about Dr. Martin Luther King. He realized, he got it. He finally got the most important concept of the campaign, the mission, you know, the cause that he dedicated his life to for his people, that it was a bit misdirected. And it did not make a priority the things that would really solidify us as a community, unite us around our coming together on the basis of our material concerns, material needs, so that when the material concerns come, then they bring the blood to that concern. He realized that campaign. He understood, and he tried to make up for lost time. He understood after meeting with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and then doing what we call the Shura Bainahum, mutual consultation, that his thinking was a bit misdirected. You know, part
yes.
of our problems was the degree of falsehood that had been entered into the scheme called religion at that time. It was actually a scheme to undermine and underrate our value creation. So we suffered a lot, but he realized it and tried and fully intended to turn that around. So I see what you're saying, Michael. Yes.
Well, you know, Imam Muhammad shared with us that the soul of the African-American people from going back to Frederick Douglass and Martin Delaney, maybe even before then, the soul
mm-hmm.
was not integrated. The soul was not integrated with itself. And Imam explained that we have an urge for the being recognized in the human family. I'm going to put it that way, you know, use this language. We had an urge to be recognized in the human family, being human, being like everybody else, which was taken away from us, our ancestors going into slavery. But then there's
mm-hmm.
a soul, the soul's urge to integrate with itself. You know,
mm-hmm.
the group solidarity, the group ethos, the group acknowledgement that we
mm-hmm.
we have a special history and a special bonding with one another. So those
mm-hmm.
two urges in the soul were split. And the Imam explained that the urge was to bring those two together, and coming out of the Nation of Islam with an independent environment, language environment of the Nation of Islam allowed Imam Muhammad and others within that Nation of Islam experience to connect with the Holy Quran. And many people
yeah.
didn't know that the Quran wasn't just put on the shelf, that there were those
yep.
among us that were reading the Quran in Arabic, you know,
yeah.
Quranic Arabic. And Imam Muhammad mm-hmm. was foremost among those that had learned the Quranic Arabic. And
mm-hmm.
He directed that a special environment was created within the Nation of Islam, a special
mm-hmm.
language environment that produced independent thinking,
yeah.
free thinking. You know,
mm-hmm.
thinking not connected with the social constructs of caste system, you know. Those who were white, those who were right, and there was a saying, you know, if you're white, you're right. If you're brown, stick around. If you're yellow, you're mellow. But if you're black, you better get your butt back, you know. And that was
That came out of our spirit in acknowledging the kind of caste, system that we
put down. Yes, go ahead. I'm sorry. Very harsh.
Yeah,
put down.
Well, yes, it's destructive to the soul. You know, causing trauma. You know, causing psychic trauma to the soul, and because of that, Allah responded by giving us Imam Muhammad. And when I say us, I'm talking about the American population. We were first to get the medicine, but we were charged, even before Imam Muhammad passed, we were charged with sharing this message to whoever was open to it. The message
That's
of
right.
the Quran, and that the human soul is one soul, one human family.
Yeah.
And it's essential that message get out now, because the king cautioned us about dying as fools, you know, if we didn't get the message. You know, he cautioned us. And we're on the brink of that. To my way of thinking, we're on the brink of that. And a sobering message like the one in the Quran is necessary, and helping our Christian brothers and sisters to see that message in the sacred Holy Bible, you know, to see that message that is not as well presented in terms of clarity, but it's in the it's in the classical scripture. So I'll stop there.
Very, very good point. Yeah. So
referring to Imam Muhammad's statements concerning the water and the blood, as you read on, Michael, you will see in the last paragraph where the Imam ties the water and the blood together. Take the water and pour it on the dry land, and it becomes blood on the dry land. All this is talking about is give the people's spiritual minds to the material appetites, and then, according to the scripture, that spiritual mind, when it comes into contact with materials, it gets an appetite for materials. And what has an appetite for materials? Blood. So now my water, the spiritual, becomes blood. So what is the Imam saying here? That the emphasis, religious teaching, should not just be on spirituality. There is a responsibility that comes along with material achievement.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm looking at reality all around me. I'm looking at the lack of material production, but a very highly spiritual people. So this is what Jesus was calling his followers to. Come on, the dry land. Come on the land. So, and as the Imam mentioned, the blood is symbolic of material. It needs nutrients. It needs nutrients. It needs iron. It needs magnesium. It needs nutrients. So the same importance that's placed on the spirituality is the same importance that should be placed on productivity. Being a producer. Allah charged the human being to dress the garden. Dress the garden.
You
and
know,
of dressing the garden.
Brother Kareem, a good example of exactly what you're saying is a documentary I ran into yesterday on YouTube. It's a new documentary on Malcolm Hajj Malik bin Shabazz. It's entitled Imam Malik. new documentary that was produced by Ilm Film, and it takes the perspective, it's unusual, some of the material I've never seen before. It takes the perspective of all of the work that Malcolm X did once he separated from the Nation of Islam, and it clarifies more of his real thinking and real intentions than was publicly misperceived through the media treatment of his work. So I encourage, if we have time, to pull that up on the YouTube, the documentary entitled Imam Malik. Very, very interesting. Very, very revealing. And according to what we're talking about now, see the huge contribution he was able to make in this area. People know about his reputation as a minister in the Nation of Islam, but there's so much more to what he did once Allah permitted him to be separated from the Nation of Islam, but continue to make a contribution. Michael, I'll stop right there. I wanted you
okay.
to be
you.
Able to continue. Yeah.
I'll look for that. But the language, did you say Imam Malik?
That's the name of the documentary, Imam Malik. And it focuses on his relationship of all of the African, his interaction and coming together like we're talking about, that sociable nature that he extended in Africa when he traveled over there and became interspersed with the Sudan community in Sudan and other African relationships that as they welcomed him, they recognized the work he had done, the profound work. So it would be very, I think you'd really enjoy it. And those of our listeners, please go to YouTube when you have time and do the search for Imam Malik. Okay?
If we can, I want to inshallah, keep our focus so that we stay focused on the Ramadan sessions of Imam Wahdaddin Muhammad. I know there are many tributaries that venture off from that.
Well, I'm not so sure it's a tributary because one of the things that Imam Muhammad was very concerned and he emphasized a lot, that's the word I want, is that we're able to make connections with things.
So let's that connect. Let's
yeah.
connect.
If I may, what comes to my mind is that in Minister Malcolm's book, Autobiography of Malcolm X, he described his great respect for Muhammad, and he had a political leaning in terms of his ability and focus, but he described Imam Muhammad seeking to get Imam Muhammad to join him in like a coalition where Imam would be responsible for the religious, teaching the religion, that he was not a religious teacher. That's what surprised me by the title, Imam Malik, because Minister Malcolm was looking for the Imam Wahdaddin Muhammad to be the Imam of the organization that he was newly developing. But anyway, let me finish by reading. The time is on us. We've got about 18 more minutes, inshallah. So let me continue with this focus, the Ramadan session. And inshallah, we'll be able to utilize what we're getting from these pages to help us deliver more focus and a more balanced
social as well as moral life, intellectually, morally, excellent, living our day-to-day life. So, and this is greatly needed today. You know, somebody had to live during the time of judgment, and I think we're it. You get all this continuing, we're reading from the middle of the last paragraph.
Yes.
Why does man, and this is very important for us to understand in the context of the times and what we see going on, because a lot of superstitious language about color consciousness, you know, white nation and blacks leaving to go to Africa. So we're considering, why does man form social groups? It is because of the common material need. If we didn't have those needs, we could form, we could group in the water. The fish go in groups. We can group in the water. We don't have to group in the blood. We can group in the water too. Spiritual superstition, mysticism, all that attracts people too, to come together for that kind of discussion, that kind of worship. It brings them together too. But a stronger force for bringing people together is material concern. When the material concerns come, then they bring the blood to that concern. So what does that tell us? It's telling us that man's grouping instinct, called gregarious nature, be understood in the material environment, that God has made man to want to group for material needs, for material concerns. And grouping for material concerns, it evolves the social life, the social community. Water upon dry land becomes blood. If you follow the line of reasoning, you can understand the language of religion as well as the language of the secular world much better. So it says, quote, pour the water out upon the land, and it becomes blood on the dry land. Meaning, take the spiritual conscience or the spiritual mind, then you will realize social development. Now, this here is a big subject, and it has so many connecting subjects or details. We could talk about it for many, many days, but we won't do that. I could go to the Holy Quran and tie all of this in, but we won't do that. I think that's clear enough. And as you read the Quran, if you believe in the steps, the commentary that I'm giving, you will see a much more meaningful revelation than you have been seeing when reading the Quran. I gave another reference too, didn't I? I referred to chapter 48, verse 27. So let's go to 48:27. But before going to 48:27, let's look again at chapter 38, the narration about Iblis and man. Understanding and accepting what we've said now, i.e. fire representing this hunger in man for knowledge, for material knowledge, knowledge of the world, and clay meaning skin. Where did we go? What was the verse we read? It was Ar-Rahman and 38:72. Okay, that's where I'm going to go to now. Actually, 38:71. Allah says, Inni kalakun basharan min teen, unquote. So here you find bashar, which means skin, and teen together. He's going to create basharan, skin, min teen. So what is teen? Teen is flesh. Teen represents flesh, and basharam represents skin. And the skin covers the flesh. So what God is telling us here is that the fetus is formed in the womb and is made a fetus lump. The fetus lump comes, and it shows no particular form right away. it is gradually it gradually conforms to the forms that God intends for it. Then that fetus lump gets skin. We know the fetus lump doesn't have skin. It's like the liver or something without skin. It has skin, we know, but not this skin. It is called lump, flesh, you see? But later it develops and it gets the skin. Then it's ready to come out as a fully developed creature, organ or something. So here we have to understand that teen represents clay, and it means when there's no sensitivity. You don't have any feel for what's right or what's wrong. Do we come here with a feel for what's right or what's wrong? Under fear, the mind is formed, and then we trust the person because of fear. And then that person, that creature, begins to follow that person's guidance that he trusts. Here is the fetus being formed. Now, don't think because it's out of the womb, all of these stages form outside of the womb. The water outside of the womb is fear. The next stage is the blood, isn't it? The blood is affection. That's of the social nature. Affection, the blood. Pardon me, I missed one. Clay is first. Clay is fear. What kind of fear? This is the fear in the behavioral nature. Fear in the behavioral nature given as flesh. Okay. So how do we know clay is fear? Why did they pick that symbol? It is because clay also usually keeps a cool temperature, not a high temperature, like water. So it's fear and then water. It says from clay to water, the material nature fears, the mortal nature fears, and then that creates what? It creates a spiritual sensitivity, doesn't it?
Yes.
Fear gives us a flowing sensitivity. Fear gives us a flowing sensitivity. Water flows. Water flows. Fear gives us a flowing sensitivity. It flows from me to the fire, from me to the dog. It starts flowing, but fear was already in my mortal nature. The mortal flesh has a nature of fear, but as I come into contact with other things, then it becomes a flowing fear, like water, and it's sensitive. This is very rich. And, I invite the audience to purchase the Ramadan session. We have two of them right now, volume one and volume two.
Yeah.
We invite you to how can I put it? We invite you to Imam Ronald Shahid's phone number. If you're using your pen and paper, I'll write down this number. 414-349-2278. And you may be directed to a voicemail where you leave your message and the Imam Ronald will get back with you. Continuing. Let me read that number again. 414-349-2278. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
And would you share the website with us, Thoughts for Searchers, which is another way on?
He announced that that website was not given him
I think the language he used, the bang for the buck. He was paying a large amount of money for the website, but he wasn't getting the hit order the. So he's given out his phone number. Again, that number, 414-349-2278. Yes, so that was an up. That's an update on what's going on. The website is no longer active.
Thank you.
So where are we? We've been given a lot. There's so much, and I'm trying not to rush it, but it's so much there in terms of the invitation.
Yeah. I'm loving your pace. I really am. And commending you because, as the title of that, his website was Thoughts for Searchers, one of the blessings and benefits of AN360 knowledge is that its listeners come and are in an active state of perception, curiosity, that they are seeking understanding when they open up their ears, the first five sense that becomes operational according to the creation of Allah as we share with them information designed to fortify their consciousness, to help them create it, evolve it, get control of it, and utilize it. And that if you agree, is one of the most important impacts that reading of this Ramadan session, Volume 1, can have during Ramadan. It actually is promoting the evolution that we're seeking, and we're trying to arrive at the victory stand that Allah has promised us if we really hunker down and dedicate ourselves to the soul's development during these 30 days.
Excuse me, Michael, yes. We've got 6 minutes left of broadcast time.
Okay.
Yes, you're right.
So we're winding down, dear listeners.
And what comes to my mind? The Almighty God in the Quran tells us that most of the people don't know. But he describes before that we are created to be servants of God, of his will and plan for the world and for the people. And this idea of Khalifa is connected also with the biblical expression of laborers. The Bible speaks about harvest is right, but the laborers are few. So that's in connection. The plain language of the Quran says most of the people don't know that they're to be caliphs, they're to manage their lives, and they have to manage their lives and manage the social life. So you've got Khalifa and you've got labor. You know, both books are speaking to a particular behavior and identification, you know. So we're coming to the end. We've got, do we have any overtime, Imam?
I'm not sure. There isn't another broadcast coming on after this, I don't believe. So inshallah, if we can devote our grace period to sharing the statements of Imam Muhammad during this Ramadan session, I think that would serve us well.
Okay, continuing. Fear and love are a reverse of the same coin. Continuing. Then what? From clay to water, and then what? Blood, right? Okay, then I learn to trust certain things, that they will help protect me from my fears, from the things that I'm afraid of. So now, this is not fear of that type. The fear now has reversed itself, and it's an affection, a love. And what we don't know is fear. What we don't know is that fear and love are just the reverse of the same coin. I love you because you protect me from my fear.
Michael has been, his phone has dropped. I'm quite sure he'll call back in. I'll continue the reading, inshallah. Now, okay, yeah. And what we don't know is that fear and love are just a reverse of the same coin. I love you because you protect me from my fears. I appreciate you because you quiet my fears. Now, this is philosophy. So it requires some thought, deep thought. All right. So now we come to blood. It's affections. But what brought about these affections? Why does the baby love mama? It is because mama feeds your body, brought about these affections. All right, Michael is back with us. If you would continue on, Michael.
Yes. Yes, it is because mama feeds its material body. Mama protects its material.
Please, stop right there. The importance of the connection to material. The importance of the connection to material. You know, it's one thing I know about Imam Muhammad. He wanted to put our focus on being a more productive people. The same importance that we give to spirituality is the same importance that we should give to the sacred connection with material production. I stop right there.
Yes, and I agree it's very important. The economic situation of the world, Allah is affecting the economics. One of the books edited by Imam Ronald Shaheed is that Allah is affecting the economy, particularly in America, where America offers this opportunity of land of the plenty to pull yourself up by your bootstrap. But it's going to take a more conscious awareness of our social obligation. We are obligated as Muslims to support businessmen and women who are Muslims and that are honorable, and not like some of these Muslims that come over here and sell pork and sell whiskey, and they should be condemned because they are insensitive to their social obligation to follow Muhammad and not offer the people those things that Allah forbid.
You know,
Michael,
if I may, Imam Muhammad is not just talking to Muslims. This is the condition of a whole people.
Yes,
of
sir.
A whole people. So he's addressing the overall condition. We are very spiritual people, but we have no material reality that expresses the importance of our spirituality. So I suspect that he's talking to us, to human beings.
Kareem, what you're saying is very accurate, because it has become common knowledge now with the huge influx of immigrants fleeing worse conditions where they come from to take advantage of the benefits of citizenship here. And when they are instructed in the citizenship classes, it's been made beknownst to us that the African American community is designated as a community upon which they can feed to gain economic advancement.
Get a leg up.
We see these stores, these corner stores, popping up in our neighborhoods, proliferating. the Corner Store Church, and the Corner Liquor Store or Snack Shop type of thing. That's convenient for who? And so certainly not us, because the prices are usually doubled what they would cost in a regular supermarket or grocery store for the convenience of you being able to step out of your door and across the street and shop. But it keeps threatened by a certain economic deficiency and lack of the expression of us being able to provide, come together on the basis of what Imam Muhammad is talking about, the material concerns, and do for self, right?
And my point about focusing on the Muslim first is the fact that to whom much is given, much is required. We've been given clear guidance, and the balance of having spiritual, morally decent behavior, intellectual behavior, and to get our share of this material world, that God specifically points to us in clear language that each individual has a share of this material world, so we should go get it. And the African-American Muslims, you know, we're just really coming into this focus in terms of supporting ourselves. Imam Muhammad told us that if we focus on community establishment, then that will speak louder for us and what we're about than any individual or group of individuals giving khutbahs or lectures. So
this is
a reminder that, listen, we need economic focus. We need to support one another. The Muslim public should see an obligation to support decent Muslim businessmen and women. That's an obligation. That's not something we can take a league. And Imam Muhammad has told us, you know, God will punish us if we don't do it. He talked about being cursed, and that that Allah will put a whipping on us to the point where we'll beg these Muslim businessmen and women to let us support them, because it's just that serious. It's just that serious.
Yes,
that's right.
And it's just that simple too, Michael. The formula that you're talking about is not rocket science.
It's common sense.
Imam Muhammad caution our leadership to invite the women forward and give them a greater expanse to make demands on the leadership to address the needs that they had as women, as well as the children that they were nurturing to come up and develop and be an extremely valuable part of our future. And
Mahasin, regrettably, some of us didn't get that memo.
I know. But that's all right. Every day is an option for a new start, right? So that's where that patience and that encouragement and that championing. Imam Muhammad talked about and characterized the African-American soul as a champion soul. So while we talk about maybe the woman's urgency as a proclivity to nagging, I beg to differ. I think it is not nagging in that negative sense. It's a reminding, a urging, and encouraging to have those very vital needs that you talked about, Michael, met, so that when immigrants the degree of immigration, why does people come, that we're not targeted as the community upon which you can go in and establish and feed upon and make advancements, economic advancements for your community on the backs of the African American community. And we're beginning to respond very eagerly, urgently, positively about that. I don't want to make it seem as a woe is me category. We are, our African American entrepreneurs are doing magnificent things, magnificent breakthroughs in business development. And we want to encourage that. I'm going to stop.
Absolutely. Okay, we're going to open up. This is the last appeal to the listening audience to share your comment, your reflection, you're invited to make the final comments as we close out, and look forward to next Sunday's Ramadan session. I think we're winding down. We're coming up near the end of the Ramadan. And I think next week may be our last, yes, I believe it will be the last Ramadan session. In terms go ahead.
No, I was just going to remind you, we've gotten so much of a positive response. We're considering a request of extending this beyond Ramadan. So I'll just leave that right
there. Mahasa? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We have praised it to Allah. You're right on point. We have discussed that, and we was going to share with you that in the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad, his logic, his knowledge, his insights, that we incorporate in the contemplations of Imam Muhammad the Ramadan session, because these also are his deepest thinking, logic, understanding, connection with scripture, connection with the life example of our Prophet Muhammad, that we can incorporate the Ramadan session in with the contemplation, because that's what these are. Contemplations of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad, and inshallah, as we move forward, we can continue to share the Ramadan sessions of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad under the heading of the contemplations of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad. So you and myself and Michael, we'll discuss that and move forward with that. This is too valuable to stop and end now. I agree.
Because Imam Muhammad did leave here asking us to give him a good future.
Yeah.
Give him a good life. He says, I won't be.
I don't want all home yet now.
Beg your pardon?
No, I was asking Michael, where did he end at now?
Well,
looking at the present.
We're at fear and love. Our reverse close out. Have you and Mahasa make your final comments, and we'll close out.
Well, I'll jump right in briefly. I'm chomping at the bit because the last sentence you read was, "It is because Mama feeds its material body." So I can hardly wait until next week if we take it up right there, how the mother is created to protect the material body of humanity. Every creature that Allah provides for her to gestate on, to carry in her womb, to grow, to evolve to a clot and adhere to the walls of the womb. All of that beautiful explanation is coming up. So I would request request and invite our listening audience to please come and share this next Sunday, starting at 5 o'clock Eastern Time, as we continue to address the concept of fear and love being a reverse of the same coin. Thank you.
What I want to share, I'm grateful that you mentioned the sentence here that says, Mama gives comfort to its material body. So now a love and appreciation develops the blood. Let's look at, well, we know a mother is Om. Om is mother. Oma is community.
Mm-hmm.
The Oma. So we can transpose the higher reading to that statement, Mama gives comfort to its material body.
Alhamdulillah.
The Oma, the community, gives comfort to its material body. So now there's a love and appreciation that develops for who? The Oma, for the community.
So I
wanted to take it to that level. But, you know, Alhamdulillah, praise be to Almighty God Allah. I'll just stop right there. So we are grateful to everyone that tuned in. And we look forward, inshallah, to your presence next Sunday for the Ramadan sessions of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad Rahim Allah Alayhi. We strongly encourage your participation, your comments, your reflections, because that is how we grow, that we share with each other. You know, I don't come on just to broadcast. This is me personally. I come on to include the listening audience to have a conversation, to hear from you. Mm-hmm. That is the magic of America Muslim 360. So we encourage you. Share your reflections. Share what Allah blessed you with from out of what we have shared and will share. So we look forward to your participation. I stop right there. Praise be to Almighty God. Ramadan Mubarak to you. All right, Michael.
thank you. Again, Ramadan session volume 1 and 2 can be purchased by calling Imam Ronald Shaheed at 414-349-2278. Again, 414-349-2278. He announced that his website, Thoughts for Searches, would be closing because he wasn't getting much traction in terms of ordering the publications by that means. So he invites you to call 414-349-2278. If he doesn't respond directly, leave your name and your phone number will we record, but you can leave your name and phone number and he will promptly get back with you. Thank you for joining us. Join us this week. And we bid you assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak.
Enjoy your iftar, everyone. Alhamdulillah. We'll be breakfast soon, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum.